Well, there's a few background things that we need to kind of cover before we jump into the topic of Sabbath keeping properly. And that is a reminder of some of the code that was given to God's people in the book of Leviticus. You'll hear immediately how things have changed in our day and our time. So, for example, if you were walking along and you came upon a vineyard or a field and you were hungry, you had need, you had every right to walk through the vineyard or the field and pick and eat, consume right there what you had need of. I mean, isn't that a kind of a Tom Sawyer kind of world, you know, where he's floating down the river and he sees the watermelon in the patch and so on and goes through this business of, you know, do I dare to trespass on the land and take what I need? And he kind of talks himself into this moment of, surely this is just the humane thing to do, right? To feed your neighbor and that kind of thing. So as the disciples are walking through the field on this Sabbath day, they are doing what is legal by the word of God for them as a people, to gather the grain and to rub it between their hands and then simply to eat it. But there is this moment that has taken place in which the law that God had given to the people has been multiplied, clarified by the rabbis. And so a whole bunch of new rules have been made. And the first one is, you can't harvest. And the second one is, you can't thresh. That is, you couldn't rub. And then, you can't prepare any food. And so as the disciples are walking through the field on the Sabbath day, remembering as well that there is this rabbinic rule that you can only travel so far on a Sabbath, you know, only you can only take so much of a hike or journey on the Sabbath day. All of these rules pertaining, surrounding them, then comes this moment where Jesus is confronted by the Pharisees about his disciples breaking the law. And the question right off the bat is, well, whose law is it? The law of man or the law of God? And these were simply the rules of man, not the law of God. Jesus clarifies his identity in this confrontation. The Son of Man, that is, the divine suffering one, is Lord even of the Sabbath. He makes an astounding declaration about his identity with those words. And the clarification then, he teaches the Sabbath was made for people, not people for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for us. Do you experience the mystery of that wonder? You know, the invitation that on Sunday, you set time apart, step back from the list and the busyness and all the carrying around of, you know, this and that that needs to be done, this and that worry and what have you, and step into the repose of this is God's day for me. I'm asking, do you live under the law or under the gospel? And here's how living under the law looks. You work your tail off all week long, just so that you can arrive at the weekend, right? That's why we have this restaurant called TGIF and the whole culture surrounding that. That, I suggest to you, is living under the law. That is, there is no rest until you have finished all your work. until you have accomplished everything that needs to be done? Or, on the other hand, do you live under the gospel? And that is this perspective and orientation in life which acknowledges God Himself is the beginning of everything. Everything. He establishes my life. And because He has blessed me with life, with body and all of this, this is His doing and not mine, then I rest myself in His word and His promises to me, and I expect that everything will flow from the connection, the relationship, the bond that I have with Him. And then He will provide, He will sustain, He will equip, He will enable, He will empower everything else that follows. Everything else that follows. All the cares you may have, the dreams, the aspirations, all of these you can leave with God in His capable, powerful, all-knowing, loving hands. I'm asking, do you live under the law or under the gospel? Because Sabbath people live under the gospel. That is, this day, a day of blessing. This is no day to be down in the mouth about, oh, I wonder how long or how boring or what have you, it kind of things. None of that at all. This is a day of excitement, of coming together as the family of God, in the presence of God Himself, with a certain yearning and expectation. Our God, the God of creation and all the beauty and the wonder therein, chooses to be present here. He comes here into our midst through word and sacrament, and He makes Himself known. He declares His name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and He declares His power to forgive sins, to restore and to reorient humanity to its proper true self, you know, in the image of Godness kind of moment. And to leave from this being together and this being fed together, and knowing that here, the quietest voice in my soul is heard and understood and affirmed. Rest. Oh, the bliss of this. Rest. We need it. Why? Because we're broken. And we're finite. We need it. God, on the other hand, rests after creation, not because He's tired, not because He has done the thing of the law, but He rests to celebrate, to rejoice in, to delight in the labor of His word and His hands. And He delights. And so for you and I, we're invited into this rest, into this presence, into the wholeness and the fullness of God. What a treat. What bliss this is. And this marks the beginning of time. So the church doesn't even celebrate the seventh day. No. We celebrate the eighth day, Sunday, the first or the eighth day, because this is the day of the resurrection of our Lord, because this is the day in which the new world and the new time, the new era is born, and we're invited into that mystery and that wonder. So I have a story to tell. I was I kind of overdid it in my chores. I was supposed to go to the lake with the backpack, you know, the campers and all of that. And I had my list, you know, the law. And I got done with what I could do because there's always more under the law. And I was in a bad way. Fortunately, I have the steam room that I can go to at the gym. What a treat. So I'm sitting there soaking in the steam, you know, sweating like a mule and all of that. And I hear this voice outside because there's, you know, little to absorb sound. But it's a father. I had seen them together earlier. A father in uniform and his 3 or 4 year old son. And they were having this father-son, you know, only dad and me kind of moment. And I'm sitting there, you know, the steam is doing its thing and all of that. And I hear this little guy, "Daddy?" And then this you know, forced speech. I mean, I couldn't keep up with it. "Daddy? Da 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 da." And then "Daddy" at the end too. And this went on and on. You know, I'm thinking, where does this stimulation come from? "Daddy?" And then da 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 da. "Daddy? Da 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 da. Daddy?" And I'm like, what's this moment? And what's between the fine lines there? What's this little guy really saying about this father-son moment? I heard, "Daddy, I so love you. I so love that you and I are together. I so trust you with everything in my life. I look up to you. What a treasure this time is that you and I have. This moment is shaping my heart and my life and my connection with you. Daddy, Daddy, Daddy." That's what I heard. Our Father in heaven invites us into his presence saying, "I'm here for you, just for you, and all of you all together." And we look upon the moment and we think, "Oh, what a bore. Oh, I have to stop what I'm doing. How important I am. My list. Come on, look at all the opportunities I have with this day or this time to move myself forward, to make more, to live under the law. What kind of nut would choose that? Come on. A sinful one. A broken, selfish, turned inside one that says, what matters is me and that God who creates, who forgives, and fills with his Spirit. What could he possibly have to say to me?" Friends in Christ, loads he has to say. His heart is yearning, so much so that he says, "Stop the clock. This day belongs for us. Mankind, people, not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath made for the likes of us." Oh, that's grand. That's grand. I love this daddy of ours, who's always listening and always cares and always loves, but especially who invites into this connection and this bond. Friends in Christ, let's wear his name out. Wear it out. "Daddy, da 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 da. Daddy, can you hear it? speak it, live it. The bond, the connection, the shaping, the preparing, the equipping, the peace-filling, the loving, all of it. Immense, immense. Oh, the treasure that is ours because of a day of rest declared by God Himself. Remember, you were slaves in Egypt. Get over it. In the name of Jesus, amen.